This is Corey.
This is Ailea.
And this is Jump Rope Jam. And we are excited to welcome a former world champion and owner of the website Jump Rope Videos, Chris Holmes. But Chris has a lot more to tell us. So Chris, why don't you take over?
First of all, thanks guys for having me.
No problem. It's our pleasure.
We're excited to be on the show, and I really love what you guys are doing. I know that this stuff takes a lot of work and a lot of heart, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing for the sport. I think it's a good thing.
Thank you.
So about me, I started jumping a long, long time ago. 1985, I started jumping on a team called the Footnotes in San Antonio, Texas. Under Coach Roger Crozier. I don't know if either of y'all know Roger, but to me, he's kind of an icon in the sport.
How old were you when you started?
I was 8 when I started. So third grade, jumped for 10 years with the Footnotes before going off to college at Texas A&M University to study computer engineering. And continued jumping through college. I started what I think was the first college jump rope team, actually, at the time.
And what was that?
A Texas A&M jump rope team. So we just had essentially a club that jumped there and went to nationals with that group. And then eventually teamed up with some other jumpers, jumpers in the state. You may have heard of Sean Hamilton and Willie Amos and Cliff Forbes from Sweetwater. And we went and won the 1999 World Championships in St. Louis.
Nice. And now you have your kids are in a jump rope team as well?
They are, yeah. And I'm excited about it.
Have you been coaching?
I've been coaching this year. I think the last several years I had been kind of in and out of the sport and kind of peripherally involved for a few things here and there, occasional workshop and occasional, host or judging of all-star teams and things like that. But in the last year, I've been getting more involved with World Jump Rope. And helping them out with their mission and vision. And through that, I met Ernesto Hernandez, who's the coach of the Rope Warriors in Katy, Texas, who is nearly in my backyard. I didn't know that. I had been just enough removed from the sport that I wasn't aware that they existed, and met him through World Jump Rope. And he asked me invited us to come out and bring the kids. And so my kids have been jumping for about a year now. So they're still very early in their career, but it's fun to watch them pick it up and start to develop a love for the sport.
Started in
1985. So that's back pre-FISAC. What format were you competing in?
So back then, it was IRSO, International Rope Skipping Organization. That's way back.
My first year was they changed it after my first year, I think. So I just missed the tail spin of that.
Yeah.
That's really so interesting. No one ever discusses those old formats anymore. So
when did that fall apart?
So there was a split somewhere around the mid 90s, I think, somewhere early 90s.
I was going to say 96 or 97.
And what did it split into?
It probably even predates that, because there was a split between IRSO and WRSF. So WRSF kind of split off from, which was the World Rope Skipping Federation.
That's what I remember. That was the European one that
I don't even think that is true. I think they were still very much in the U.S. Base. So it was kind of two groups in the U.S. Kind of running things. They kind of regrouped and reformed USA Jump Rope back somewhere around 95 or 96, somewhere in there, around the time that I was graduating high school and going off to college.
That was my first year jumping was 96.
Yeah. So the first year that they had the national championship in Orlando, I was there for that one. The one that was broadcast on ESPN, and they were broadcast on ESPN for several years. And so I was, on the Grand National stage, several years in a row for that.
I hadn't even realized that it was televised at one point.
It was, yeah. And
idea why it why they stopped?
So
probably audience.
Well, no, it was. I think it was actually USA Jump Rope elected to move away from it, which I think was a bad decision.
Do you know why they decided that?
I was on the board at the time that they did that, so but I can't speak to that. I don't have all the history
and,
there.
And that year was what year was that again?
I don't know what year they lost the television deal.
But the last time they were on was what year?
Oh, I don't know the exact year. I stayed with it through, I think, 99, 2000, somewhere in there, and it would have been after.
Jeez, that would have been right around the time. I mean, YouTube wasn't out yet, but
right.
But it could have easily hit.
Yeah,
at the same
it was a
time.
Total missed opportunity, right? So YouTube came out in the early 2000s, right?
Yep.
And yeah, it was unfortunate. And looking back on it, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. Right. I think.
Is that part of
well, but you know what? There could have been a very substantial and reasonable cause for them to have elected to move away from that. And
yeah,
I guess
like I said, I don't want to second guess the decision.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Because it may have made perfect sense to them at the time, but it in hindsight it
like
does look
said, yeah, hindsight. Yeah. So
there are advantages, and I guess they must have just counted disadvantages against them.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you trust, right?
So is that why you started the website, or?
So I started the website in about 2007, so certainly YouTube, you know, had my attention. I realized that that was something that was going to be important for our sport down the road, and I, you know, I started it around the time that I got invited to come judge the first USA All-Star selection for USA Jump Rope, So that was around the time that I started it, and I kept it going for a few years. Took you know, more time than I anticipated, and I didn't really have the time to do it real justice, I think. You know, it eventually you know, kind of stagnated, and then just recently I've tried to start to resurrect it, and it was on a really old version of WordPress that needed updated and stuff. Not to get into the technical details, but it was out of date. But also, you know, when I started it, you know, Facebook didn't exist, mobile, iPhone didn't exist. So I started it in 2007, like in January, February, somewhere around there. The iPhone comes out in like June, right? And so my website completely wasn't mobile aware. That wasn't a thing when I started it.
So you were ahead of the technology basically at the time.
Just slightly. Yeah.
I had a skipping website back in 2007.
Oh, you
on
did? What
on
is it
free
called?
Webs. Oh yeah. I don't know, like Ilea's magical high school student rainbow.
Ilea, you know, now we're gonna have to create like a web page called that. You know, within a Jump Rope Jam.
Oh, I checked. It's long gone. That domain is.
Oh, no, no. We won't use the domain. We'll have a link.
No. There's really no need to recreate that. Obviously, I was a little bit younger, but had the same idea. Like, that was a cool thing to do. And I guess I would have been in high school around then. And the internet was like a new thing. Nobody owned their own laptop. We all had Windows 95 and, you know, free webs and MSN Messenger back in those days.
Yeah, over here we were using AOL and AIM.
Oh yeah, AOL and AIM, that's right.
That was so awful.
So that's amazing that you already had a website like up and running.
Yeah,
that really is an achievement. But you know what, I do remember using the internet to watch videos at that point. There was no YouTube, but I do remember seeing like Belgium and Japan, mm-hmm. like at Worlds, when FISAC Worlds was starting up, I do remember seeing some European routines and some Asian routines using the internet and saving all the like photos of the TJs and stuff to try and learn. I remember
that goes back to my time, even before, you know, cell phones and everything like that. Everybody took a TJ picture somewhere. I've still got pictures of on my walls of TJs in exotic locales and the subway, you know, the first subways and stuff. You know, it was a lot of fun.
Oh man, I wonder. Maybe I have a picture of you doing a TJ. Then maybe up in my dorm room in college, I had all of the guys doing TJs all over the world and stuff. So maybe.
That's awesome.
Wouldn't that be funny if we found you know, I think, that out that I have a picture of you on my dorm wall when I was in college or something?
I'd be flattered.
That'd be a great story.
You know, I think I don't know if you know DeMarcus and Derricus Epps. They were Palpitations at the time that I was jumping, and I kind of grew up jumping with those guys because we were, you know, in the same state and you know, started out about the same skill level, and they passed me up somewhere along the way, but. They were the first ones that I remember taking pictures, you know, somewhere scenic, you know, doing TJs and stuff like that. And I thought that was such a cool idea. And so then everybody, every time
first
we traveled,
Instagram.
Like, oh, yeah, that's right. It was predates Instagram for sure.
Well, you know, if you were a good teacher, then they should improve upon what you've taught them, right?
I didn't teach them. They taught me.
They taught him.
But
you know, if you're all skipping together kind of thing, right? I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we definitely pushed each other and drove each other. You know, if you look at, you know, one of the videos that I shared recently on Facebook that I really love is of Nick Woodard and Adam Pang doing the 900. And so it's something, you know, and I kind of posted that because Tony Hawk, the skateboarder, just recently did a 900 on his, you know, he's 48 years old and did a 900, and he was the first one to do it in competition, and he did it on the anniversary, like something like the 20th anniversary of him doing it or something like that at the X Games. And so I thought, you know, I've got a video and an interview that I did with Adam Pang when he was the first jump roper to do a 900. And that video is so great because it shows him and Nick Woodard going back and forth in the gym, and all the jumpers kind of sit around and watching and just cheering them on, and they're both taking turns trying to land it. And that is exactly what, you know, it was like at a workshop, right? Like while everybody else is waiting in the other gym, you know, they're goofing off in the other room, not goofing off, but they're, you know, they're working on these tricks. And that's exactly what me and DeMarcus and Derricus and Sun Nguyen and those guys did back in my day, just challenging each other to tricks.
Well, that's a good segue.
So I haven't seen the video. Wait, what is a 900?
So it's 2.5 rotations with the rope and you land backwards. So you 2.5, like a full twist, and then you do like a 1.5 full twist or a double full twist. This is 2.5.
Off
of a round off?
Yeah, we'll get the video.
No, not off of a round off. Turning, so you're standing vertical, you're turning to your left or right in a circle.
Oh, so it's like an EK?
It's not an EK. It's more of a full twist. So the rope doesn't go under you.
Chris,
land.
If you have the video, can you share your screen? With us?
Put it
full screen?
Can I share the screen here?
Because you can see us, Ilya, right?
No.
Oh, never mind. That won't help at all.
I'll send you a link, Corey.
Yeah, send it to me. We'll post it.
Yeah,
I want to see the video, but I like hearing the description anyways, right? Because like being a jumper, sometimes that's more valuable to me.
Well,
I want to try and walk through it, like to understand it. It's kind of like, you know, when you watch gymnastics and they're like, that was 4 rotations and a, you know, and you're like, I have no idea how many sit and spins the little pixie did. So you kind of appreciate that, right? Even being a skipper, I can usually tell the difference between, you know, a quad and a triple and whatnot. But when you add those rotations in, sometimes it's good to have it said so that you can really get your mind around everything that jumper's doing.
Yeah, it's definitely visually impressive.
Well, on that note, you've already mentioned one of your favorite videos. Do you have 4 more that you can share with us?
You know, I'm really a big fan of ones that kind of capture the history of jump rope, something that's, to me, significant in the development of the sport. So tricks that are being done for the very first time. And, you know, one of my, you know, personal favorites is the subway, because I was in it. And so it was me and DeMarcus Epps and Derekus Epps and Sun Nguyen at a Texas Southern camp, somewhere around 94 or 95, somewhere in there. And our turners were Joy Welch and Jody Brooks, who were amazing turners. And it was, you know, for the staff show, and you guys know, you know, for the staff show, you kind of prepare all week at camp. After you're done teaching the jumpers for the day, you've sent them all, you know, back to the dorms or whatever, and the junior staff stays behind and works on the show all week long. And we worked, we had this idea for that trick, and worked on it and worked on it and worked on it, and never got it in practice. We could never get it, but we felt like we were getting far enough through the trick that people would get the effect and get the idea of what we were doing. But we worked every afternoon, and they would have to run us out of the gym every night, and say, go get some sleep and rest, 'cause you got to teach tomorrow. But then in the show, we nailed it. And,
nice.
And the audience just goes nuts. And that's
been my experience for sure, is that even when you have gotten it, it's hard to get it consistently, because you just need one person to be off by a centimeter and the whole thing kind of falls apart, right? So
absolutely. And that was usually me not picking my hands up.
It's hard, right? Because when they get more layered, the person on the very bottom has got their elbows all bent to get their stomach close to the floor, and it can get but there's so many variations on the subway now.
I know.
If I was you, I would be so proud to have sort of pioneered that.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, and it definitely, watching the videos and seeing anybody doing any variation on the subway gives me a sense of pride, you know. And the big one for me was the Grand Central Station when they busted that out almost 10 years after we did it. And I was talking to Nick about it one time. I described to him the story of the first subway, and he said that's almost exactly how it went down for the Grand Central Station. We practiced all week long, couldn't get it, and then the first time we landed is in the staff show, because you know you get the adrenaline pumping and you get up a little bit higher than normal when you do that, so it helps.
I love it when everybody's around, like chanting up, 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 because every jumper knows, right, when there's a subway happening, every jumper, their heart is just twisted, right? Like, oh, come on.
Get up. Yeah, definitely.
Get excited.
And then have you seen the video recently done of the hot dog 2016 show? The photography on that is amazing. And the slow-mo of the Grand Central Station at the end, I love that shot. It's an amazing shot. And my favorite thing about it actually is the turners. You can see the turners getting down, laying the ropes down, sliding them across. It's perfect form. And I think it was LJ and Garrett turning. And they nailed it. So that's such a sweet video.
No, yeah, definitely. Actually, Robbie told me that that actually took a couple takes to get to get that Grand Central Station.
I believe it. That's a tough trick.
Same thing, you know, in true subway fashion, it took a few attempts to really get it that precise.
Yeah, it was a beautiful shot though.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have seen them do it in two shows. Like I saw them do it for DDC twice in France, and they nailed it both times. So
that's great.
Kudos to those boys for keeping that Grand Central Station at least fairly consistent.
Do you have any other videos? Other than that one that have you seen the ESPN one that Nick had talked about on our previous episode?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've shared that one a few times. And that, you know, that one actually went somewhat viral, which was, you know, a great exposure for our sport, and getting on, you know, a couple of different shows on ESPN, ESPN2. You know, that's the power of having this content captured and out there. You know, to share
as long
with
as nobody expects us all to jump like Nick Woodard. Right? Like, as long as the next time I introduce myself and what I do, nobody's like, oh, great. Well, show me your triple Arabian.
But I think I do
and
think
your 900.
You know, I think what we need more videos, we do need more videos of other jumpers, other styles of jumping. You know, there's not a lot of Chinese wheel videos out there, right? And I think there's some really cool things in Chinese wheel and three wheel and four wheel that would be fun to see on video as well.
Yeah, that was feedback I got from doing a show this weekend. Actually, was, you know, we had all of our routines with all the flips in it. And I actually had my cousin was on the road, but my cousin who works locally came out to the show, a cousin I don't see very often. And she's like, that thing you did with the beaded ropes, okay, that was nuts.
Yeah.
You can do backflips and stuff, and that's great. But I just can't wrap my mind around what's happening in that wheel. She's just like, every time the rope comes around, I think there's no way it's going under. And it does. It's just, you know, it just really messes with your mind watching that. So, and it really made me think about the visual effect of a wheel, because everybody has tried double Dutch as a kid or has tried single rope as a kid. But I think wheel has that element where it's kind of like, and it's really burgeoning in our sport too. I know in Canada, wheel became an event in 2014.
Oh,
so
wow.
Wheel was never even an event before that. It was only kind of something that we put into shows and whatnot. So hopefully we're going to see big leaps and bounds of improvement in wheel.
Absolutely. And that's my wife's favorite thing to do if she jumps. She, you know, she loves the wheel.
Your wife jumps?
She was not a jumper, but she married one, so she has learned, and she knows how to do some basic Chinese wheel, but she's not I wouldn't say an active jumper.
So that's crazy, because you jump, she jumps, and your kids jump.
It's fun.
So
yeah.
What traits about the sport really sold you and your family on it?
So for me, when I was a kid growing up, I think it was all about, the people involved, that kept me interested. You know, I had an amazing coach, and I looked up to him greatly, and learned a ton from him. He was basically like a second dad to me. And I traveled all over the world with him. And so he was a big part of, me keeping interested in it for a long time. And then of course you make a lot of friends along the way. And so I think that was a big draw for me. I was, you know, and I think it trans the things that I've, appreciate now more in hindsight are all the things that it taught me outside of jump rope. Right. So obviously it's an amazing athletic, sport, it's good exercise, all, you know, all the normal cliche things. But I think it teaches you teamwork. I think it teaches you leadership skills. It teaches you the value of hard work. It teaches you how to be coachable, which, you know, all those things, when you get into the quote unquote real world and get a job, those are things that employers, you know, like often, is that you can be a team player and get along with other people and be creative and look for innovative ways to solve problems. I think, you know, all those things that, you know, kind of instilled through jump rope, that helped me out in my career.
The impression I get from you is that's made you a very great advocate for yourself and your community. And it sounds a little bit like it's also caused you to sort of reach back, right, and start providing resources for your community, which is so cool. I mean, I can't believe that you're one of the founding, 1985, that's way back there, you know,
well,
like you were saying, the year that the format you started in finished, like that was the year that in the year you were graduating high school, that was my first year jumping, right? So I'm just like, oh man, I'm, you know, speaking
you
with one of the forefathers.
That's right, I'm used to it.
so much respect for that, right? Like,
I appreciate that. Thanks. And I have respect for anybody that keeps at it, you know, for a long time and devotes a big chunk of their life to it. You know, it definitely consumed a lot of my life, but in a good way, in a positive way. And, you know, and I think you guys are doing a good job, you know, giving back too right now with what you're doing on the podcast.
We're trying, but I'm still hoping I can glean a bit more from you, because I thought that I had been skipping for a long time at 20 years. Then there's you, and I cannot get my
there
husband
were people before
to jump.
Me.
There were, yes, there were people before you, and I think maybe Brandon's mom as well.
Yep.
Yeah, she I think jumped before me.
She's before you.
Yeah, she is.
Oh yeah, she would be a few years before me because I listened to one of your episodes the other day, and Brandon was describing when she started, and that she started before I did.
Well, there we go. Why haven't we had her on yet either? But it's actually so awesome to hear your perspective. I'd love to talk to you more about the history of it, of everything, right? We really should get back into all of that on one of the episodes. I have a lot to learn in that particular area, and I do think we have a rich history, so we should.
We absolutely do. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff that's happened in the sport.
Oh, it's nice to make that contact with you then.
Yeah, well, what would be really fun and interesting as a video would be a video series of just travel, like 5 to 7 minute at the most, traveling each maybe year and just quickly highlighting jumpers and some of the tricks and everything else in between.
Absolutely.
I think that
would be
fun.
It would be cool to go on like a jump rope road trip to all the places where it like started.
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
And first competitions and somewhere. Like, yeah. I feel like that's something I'd want to do it with you because you could tell me, you know, like,
I think it would
this
be fun
where
to draw
first
in.
Ever U.S. Nationals was like you were there, you know.
Yeah, that would
so
be cool.
That would be so cool.
And one of the things that I'm interested in too is, you know, how do we reach out to, former jumpers, former coaches, and capture some of that history, right? And ask and see what they're up to and see if they want to get back involved again, right? I think that's. The part of the reason I'm back is because Sean Hamilton reached out and asked and said, you know, hey, you know, we're working on this thing and we, you know, are you interested in coming and help out? And, nobody had asked before.
What are you doing there other than you're judging?
No, I'm working with the board and trying to help them, you know, grow the sport. I think they got a great vision. I really like a lot of the innovation that they've done in the last several years and the competition
Absolutely.
Formats and getting the live stream up. So they're pushing, you know, not only the sport itself, you know, the core elements of the sport and helping grow the sport, but they're trying to find new ways to bring in an audience to innovate in the technology that's used in scoring the events and in recording the live streams and things like that. So it's they're doing great stuff. And you've had a couple of their jumpers on and people that are involved. Sarah Dabrowski is an amazing person and an amazing advocate for the sport and is going to do great things. You know, she's bringing a lot of sports medicine stuff to bear, which is great. And we need that stuff in the sport.
Yes, I have a big woman crush on Sarah for sure. And she knows it. But that's somebody that I'm really have a great affection for in my sport. And part of it is because we are both Canadian and in the same relative age and geographics, but also because that's somebody who really came alongside and encouraged me to get back into competition when I was only coaching, and somebody who was like, you have to go to World Jump Rope. Every year she's like, you have to go to World Jump Rope. You have to go to World Jump Rope. And of course, I finally gave in, went to a World Jump Rope and wound up with a world title. So I got to give Sarah Dabrowski a lot of credit for really encouraging me and believing in me when, you know, and that is so much like our sport. That's so characteristic of our community.
Absolutely.
That, you know, I think she really is a great fit.
I'll share a story with you that, from back in the day when I was jumping, this is one of my early experiences at a competition. Again, this is probably back in the IRSO days. And one of my first competitions, so I jumped for a few years and we really kind of did focused on performance stuff the first few years. And we didn't get in the competition until I was a little bit older. Me and my group were at the tournament in Texas and working very hard to get a trick before we went out to go do our freestyle. And we were working it and not getting it. And, a group of jumpers from a competing team came over and helped us and showed us what we were doing wrong and taught us. you know, there on the spot and help, you know, we're going out to compete against them and they're helping us, right? And so that, you know, formed a lasting friendship, you know, for me, and a lasting respect for those guys. And it was really this culture of sharing is caring, kind of thing that we had back then that's really great.
And I've been on the giving and receiving end of that so many times. I'm always encouraging new jumpers, you know, where you see them as their first competition or their parents are talking to you. I always say, you know what? Just go ask. If you see something you want to know how to, just go ask that skipper to teach it to you, to show it to you in the practice gym. And I've never seen anybody say, no, you can't have my skill.
And that's definitely part of what brought me in as well, as being an outsider, other than just the visual stunning nature of the sport, just the love that I saw, especially when I went to the Apollo Theater for the Double Dutch Classic, right outside, right after the whole tournament. Everybody was outside just jumping together. And they still had the same energy and the same care. And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
That's what made Corey the first self-proclaimed jump rope groupie. So we've got to thank the love in our community for that.
That's awesome.
Hashtag jump rope groupie.
I think it's so great that we have finally a self-proclaimed jump rope groupie that's not a mother of a jumper.
That's great.
Way to go, Corey, setting the bar high. I know that we're running short on time a little bit, I really want to make sure I get this in. I want to hear your world story. Corey announced that you are a world champion.
Yeah.
Because I know you've been skipping since 85, I want to ask you, like, which format? Like, you could have seven different titles and seven different, like, you might have one in ADLs, you might have an AAU, you might have a world jump.
Yeah. I never participated in ADDL or ADU. So it was actually the first FISAC tournament that they hosted in the United States in 99. It was hosted in St. Louis. And it was the first time that you had to qualify to advance in some way, you know, in your country's national tournament. But you could all, so we had a qualifying tournament and, at nationals. And, so I jumped with, Sean Hamilton and, Willie Amos and Cliff Forbes.
You actually were jumping with Sean Hamilton back then.
I was actually jumping with Sean. Yeah. I've traveled all over the world with
Sean. That's crazy.
Yeah. So Sean was a few years younger than me. And we kind of, he came up just barely after me, and we had to drive. So I was in college at the time at Texas A&M, and we only had the weekends to practice. And so they were playing football at the time in Sweetwater. And we would drive one, you know, I think we had three total practices before the championships. They drove and met me in College Station one weekend. I drove and met them in Sweetwater one weekend. And then we met in the middle with the ZZ Skippers one weekend. And they opened up their gym to us. And we put together some routines. And mostly it was, those guys were already a cohesive unit. So they had the singles double Dutch, three-man double Dutch already nailed. So we just had to work out a few routines together. So we did like the four-person single rope freestyle, and then the pairs double Dutch. And we basically modified routines that I already knew how to do. Those guys were so much better athletes than I was. I was kind of the weak link, I think. And I had been doing the same, and they used to tease me about this and kind of still do. I did basically the same single rope freestyle routine every year for like 4 years in a row because it kind of worked for me, and I could do it in my sleep.
That's good though.
And it was, I had done it so much that they had already learned it.
By watching me do it. You could lift it the whole thing.
I just had to show them a few things. And they were able to pick it up pretty much, and we added some movement to it that wasn't there before, and we did that. And those are out on YouTube too. Those old videos of us.
You'll have to send that to us, the link.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can post our Throwback Thursday. Be good.
Well, Chris, we definitely need to have you back on, and next time, hopefully, it'll be a longer episode. There's a lot that we still need to talk to you about, and I have a ton of questions that I actually wrote out that I wasn't able to get to.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I definitely want to pick your brain about jump rope history, and I'd love to come down and have you take me to some of the spots where the first competitions were, and one day we should really work towards that. That would be so cool. Yeah. I'd love to hear your stories, like in the places where the formative
and maybe we could even get the people that were involved in those memories to come together.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, maybe you and Sean could recreate your routine.
Doubtful. Sean might be able to do it. I don't know if I can or can't. Yeah, I was real proud of myself the day I did a kamikaze for the first time in several years. So I was pleasantly surprised that I could still do it.
Yeah, that actually, yeah. I'd love to like reach maybe like 40 and still be able to, I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. We'll see that.
I heard Sarah say the other day she wants to be what age and still be able to do it?
102 or 120?
Well, she threw out some number that she wanted to live to. She wanted to be able to vlog at that age.
Yeah,
I thought that was a pretty impressive goal.
Very.
Like Sarah, it's a realistic goal for her. You know,
she'll totally do it.
That's what she's training for.
Yeah. Oh man. And if you wouldn't mind putting a bug in Sean's ear, we would love to have him on the podcast as well, just to talk about World Jump Rope and where they're going. And
maybe you too can come on when he comes on, because you guys could talk about your time together, and that'd be very interesting too.
I'd love that. Oh, that would be good. I love Sean. He's a great guy.
Yeah, talk with him. So thanks again. Before you go, why don't you plug your website again?
So jumpropevideos.com. And just recently I've started firing up all the social media. So I've got at Jump Rope Videos on Instagram, Twitter, and at Jump Rope Videos Official on Facebook.
Nice. And we'll link to all of that on our website as well.
Super. Thanks.
Thank you.
And are you on the social medias personally?
Yeah, that's me driving it. Yeah.
For jumpers to follow, did you need to give out any other?
Oh, no.
Or just through
I
the
think that
jump rope
he just
videos.
Does it through his jump rope
just,
videos.
Just through yeah. jump rope videos. I,
All right.
I try to stay
just
in
making
the
sure.
As much as possible. I've got a face for radio.
That's not true. So, Ilya, why don't you, do you want to take the lead this time in leading us out?
Absolutely. Keep your head up and jump high.
And always remember, jumping is a sport. See you later.